Hey there, this is Joe Walsh from Tamarindo, Costa Rica, and you're listening to the Get Out and Surf podcast. Woo! This week, we're back in Costa Rica and talking about our recent adventures on the North Shore of Hawaii, British Columbia, and what's going on right now here in Tamarindo. I'm chilling with the boys, Nikki Hearn and Patrick McNulty. We're having a good time catching up and talking surf, so sit back, relax, and let's get started. Hey, this is Joe Walsh, coming to you from Tamarindo, Costa Rica, sitting in the recording studio at the Volcano Brewing Company Brewery with my good friends and co-workers, Patrick McNulty and Nikki Hearn. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I think I have a contact high.
Perhaps. You know, it's actually been a few weeks since you've been with us, so I'm glad that you're back.
Well, I'm just so pleased to be here, Joe. I really am, you know? Can't you tell by looking at me how pleased I am?
Nikki,
did you bring your shine box?
I always bring my shine box. I got it right here with me. You can see. Whatever is needed, I've got it in that little bag. Yeah, we're back on home turf. We're back in the most spectacular scenery of the recording studio.
With nothing on the walls.
Nothing on the walls apart from the asylum type of feel about it. But like, yeah.
And you got all this foam on the walls. If you want to take a nap, I guess you could lean up against it.
Instead of critiquing our... Oh, man.
Sorry, it's really windy.
Howling wind right now.
Yeah, we have a lot of papagaya winds. It's normal for this time of year. So, you know, we're in a big tin box, basically. So there's not much we can do about it.
We are at the brewery. That's right. And by the way, this podcast is brought to you by Witches Rock Surf Camp, Tamarindo, Costa Rica. I was telling people this at the end of the show, but then I started listening to The Verge and some other podcasts. And they do it at the beginning, and that makes sense. I want you guys to know this is episode number 10. So we should probably celebrate somehow. We made it to double digits, and we've made a few changes. We are now launching our podcast on a Sunday night so that no matter what time you go to work Monday morning, it'll be there for you to listen to. And we're doing these every week, which, you know, is a little ambitious, but at the same time has gotten us to get out there and do some really cool things in the short period that we've been doing the podcast. So the future's looking really bright, and this episode... You hear that? All those monkeys?
Yeah, it's the howler monkeys.
Yes.
What are they, on the roof?
Dude, they've been right outside the brewery since I got here.
Do you hear my voice change? You're like I'm 12 years old. You know, on the roof?
Are they on the roof? The monkeys on the roof?
Yeah, so we've got wind howling up the roof, the zinc. We've got the monkeys howling in the trees. Got my daughter and my nephew howling downstairs in the brewery, banging on stuff, having a good old time. And we're all three back together. We took a trip to... Hawaii, Nikki, you and I?
Yes, we did. I celebrated by being on time today for this podcast.
Yeah, you didn't. That's probably what happened when we started out. We've been sitting here for an hour waiting for Nikki. You got to say it.
Yeah.
And Nikki, you're usually on time.
But. Yeah, you know, so when you wait, your mind wanders, you know?
No, absolutely not. I'll take, you know, I'm used.
We started
English.
Arm wrestling.
Yeah, you missed all that.
So
yeah, I'm glad I missed that. That was all right.
Yeah, like finger wrestling, leg wrestling, arm wrestling.
Finger haggling, Bavarian finger haggling. I knew you were good at that.
All right, so this is a roundup. We've been all over. We did that trip, and then I went to British Columbia to Baldface Lodge, which was so intense and awesome. And we'll talk about that. And then we're going to bring it back here to Costa Rica and talk about what's going on here because, as you can tell, it's windy. It's in the middle of the papagayo winds, huh? That water's kind of cold, too. I surfed yesterday right after I got back, and I wore my long sleeve top, and I could have probably used a spring suit. It's one of those days.
Yeah, it seemed that way. My body got really cold pretty quick out there. The wind just howls, and you're on the water, and you're in the wind, and it makes you want to wear a wetsuit.
Yeah.
It does. It's everyone thinks it's the tropics, but you get that upwelling of all this wind, and you're not moving around too much because there's not a huge amount of swell. You got a little bit of a weight, so it just evaporates that water off your body, and you soon get cold.
It's so windy, I saw little dogs blowing down the beach yesterday.
Dude, it was so windy, I almost couldn't walk back to my house with my surfboard. Seriously.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Let's talk about the Hawaii trip. We went there for the podcast. Nikki, what did we do in Hawaii?
We managed to set up some very, very cool interviews through one of your really good friends. And we proceeded to just hang out on the islands and soak up the culture. And, we met some pretty inspirational people, really. It was it was a bit of work, if you know what I mean. You know, obviously a bit of play, but stuff like that. But it was, for me, the main thing I took away from that whole experience was the people that we met.
Yeah, Peter Cole, Pontius Sullivan, and then next week we're gonna have Mark Cunningham, and I was super impressed because all three, not only are solid watermen, but they're all like the environment and the ocean is so important to each one of them. And they're all like kind of gave the same message as far as spending time in the water and swimming for preparation and training. And so there were some cool takeaways. I mean, very, very cool individuals. And what a cool place, right? It'd been a while since I've been to Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the longest I've spent in the U.S. as such. For many years, I've usually just transferred a few on flights. And it was definitely like the U.S., but with a real island vibe. The people were very relaxed, were very friendly, way more friendly than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And you know, Pat, there were roosters and there was chickens everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was like kind of like here.
Well,
no.
There was more.
Yeah, it was
there was way more chickens and roosters everywhere than here in Costa Rica.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. No matter what neighborhood, there'd be a rooster just doing its thing.
That was a local rooster in each neighborhood.
They were all over. They're all over the island.
They were running the neighborhood, those rooster.
Dude, I guess they don't have snakes. They don't have any. There's no natural predators on the island. They've got some wild pigs. And then, of course, you get in the ocean and there's a few things there.
Yeah, those wild pigs, I understand. They'll screw you right up if you get them pissed off.
They'll come right at you. Nikki wouldn't stop talking about how they have strong neck muscles because Nikki worked in a pig farm. Told the story like three times a couple weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to repeat it again.
they have strong neck muscles, huh?
They have more muscle capacity in their neck than we have our entire body.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
You know, that's something I never read in National Geographic.
No, you won't learn in National Geographic.
I'm so surprised. It makes me want to go look at a pig.
I bet it does.
So you gotta say it now. Where did you work? What did you do with pigs? Just real quick.
Oh no! Why? Why?
Okay, you worked.
You were a pig farmer, weren't you?
I'm actually going to meet my old boss this weekend on Saturday.
Yeah, he's coming through in a cruise.
I was
right?
14 years old and I got a job.
My you dad pig made farmers me... stick together, don't you?
Oh yeah, we do. There we go.
All right.
We,
all right.
Delete this, motherfucker.
No, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be in.
Okay. Well, look, the main thing about the island or the islands was there's so many waves. There was waves everywhere.
Yeah, there were. And
even when they were calling it 1 foot, it was still like shoulder to head high.
Well, there were waves all over.
Oh yeah,
sure.
No, it just didn't stop. There was just waves all over the entire place.
That's because the island measurement is from the back of the wave.
Yeah, it's also just so open ocean and exposed to everything. It just gets, you know, and there's so many little curves of the coast, and it faces every direction. So, like, we were staying in Honolulu, and the south shore, like Waikiki, was tiny, and it's the season for it to be small anyways. We surfed on the north shore, and we surfed the spot called Monster Mush or by Rocky Point, and we actually pretty excited.
Yeah, the Monster Mush was, It was one of those moments when you're paddling out and you know where you're paddling out. It's the North Shore. And like your buddy Doug was like, okay, you're now about to surf the worst wave on the North Shore.
That's right.
But it was so much fun. It had a lot of power. It was a little intimidating at first. You got to get yourself in the lineup and figure out what's going on. Not too many people out, but you know.
I'll be honest. I was nervous.
It's a fucking North Shore.
I was nervous going there because I'd never surfed there and because I've watched like all the movies and you know, it's like.
I got to say, I was nervous and I wasn't even there.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. I don't know if you're telling the truth.
He's not
telling the truth.
He's never nervous.
Yeah, never nervous.
Never nervous.
Did you see Makaha?
No, we didn't make it to the west side, unfortunately.
It's supposed to be a real
beautiful
local break. Real local.
Yeah, no, we didn't get there. We did surf Pipeline at probably about the smallest it breaks. But it was still waist high, stomach high. That was really special, too. Maybe even bigger. Maybe a couple chest high.
Oh, no, it was definitely a bit bigger than waist high.
But got a tiny little barrel, which I'm very proud about. Grabbed my rail, pulled in, and I was surprised that we even, I don't know, I wouldn't have thought I would paddle out at Pipeline before we went on the trip. But then we were there, and my buddy Doug Cole, good friend of mine from college, grew up right by there. And I guess after a few days hanging out, just got a little more like comfortable with the whole scene. It's a pretty cool scene. I think both Nikki and I were like, yeah, we could come back, you know, like definitely want to go spend more time there. I want to go to the Big Island too. I hear the Big Island is supposed to have some pretty good waves, and it's really, really, it's quite remote, I think.
Yeah, so. It's more country.
For sure.
More country, and I understand that Maui has really good waves too.
Yeah.
A little bit more crowded, though.
I wouldn't be surprised that just from what we saw on the like the coastline that we saw, it's just like I said, there's waves coming everywhere. So I imagine there's all these pockets, there's always little gems, and as you get more rural, I imagine there's some spots a little bit more protected by locals, and you know, you can definitely, there's a definite vibe around the surf spots, and it's like, whether you call it a mecca or as in you go pay homage, because that's kind of like really where modern day surfing started.
I don't think you should paddle out a lot of those spots. I don't think you should paddle out the North Shore if you can't surf. Definitely.
Well,
there's
way
one
that.
Spot that we saw that's right outside of Haleiwa where they're renting boards, and it's a really good beginner wave. So if you want to go to the North Shore, it's super beautiful, and you can surf that wave, and it looked really protected, and it'd be perfect. And I'm sure there's a few other spots like that, but the Sunset and Rocky Point and in Pipeline and Backdoor and things like that, you know, it was, when there got to be some swell, it was just good to watch it from the
beach.
Yeah,
when those waves get going, they're no joke.
That's the best of the best surfing out there. It was pretty humbling experience, because I felt like I was one of the worst surfers on the beach.
The level of surfing out there is unreal. You watch those kids, and like, it was literally shore break, and they're dropping in, and they're doing like layback snaps. They're doing 360 airs.
It was rad.
The level is very, very high.
It was pretty cool. Deep surf culture. Great people that we met.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for the Mark Cunningham podcast next week, next episode, episode 11. That was like just one of my favorite sort of sit-down conversations. I didn't feel like we were even having a podcast. We were rapping with the guy, and really just super intelligent. And I mean, I think inspiring to both of us, because I know we both swam laps today. I swam laps. I know you swam laps. I was like, as soon as I come back from travel, I'm going to swim a lot more, because these guys are just, it's so important if you want to be comfortable in the big surf.
You know, when we stood there, the main point, me, when I stood there at sunset, and we've all been through the lifeguard training here, and we know how to deal with rips, and we know how to swim. But we stood there at sunset, and it wasn't very big, and we were thinking about surfing it before we did the Mark Cunningham interview. And we came back after, what was it, 2-3 hours after the interview?
Yeah.
And it, like,
picked up quite a bit in size pretty quickly.
Really quickly.
And we didn't even have the right boards. Like, we needed bigger boards. And
the amount of water that was moving through the rip, I was like, okay, that's a whole nother level of, like, thinking about, okay, I can swim, but can I really swim?
Yeah, you got to show up and be in surf shape and be mentally in shape and ready for that. But then I think, what a great experience. Mm. What a great experience to surf the waves we surfed, just to be there and be, like, eating Spam Musubi from the 7-Eleven, which is actually...
Joe was like his first ever Christmas as soon as he got to Foodland.
I've been reading all those Chaz Smith books, and they're talking about Foodland, and so it was cool just to be there. Eating, you know, although the last day I got that big Spam Musubi with the Portuguese sausage, and I dropped it, and like, and it busted open, and the sausage patty fell onto the parking lot, and I was so bummed. And I picked it, flicked the little dirt off, and still ate it, but I shouldn't have. It was, I was so bummed. Been waiting for like an hour to get to the North Shore to get one. I was like, all bummed. I dropped. Okay. All right. So we took off. That was a week ago, and then I had this trip planned where I went. Instead of surfing, went snowboarding, which I'm super excited to tell you guys about, to Bald Face Lodge. And I'd never heard of the place before. A friend of mine came or went there a year ago, Ty. And he invited me, and I joined this group. And I don't know, man. I mean, I've been snowboarding a bit. You know, I lived in Tahoe for 3 months or so when I was in college. And I snowboarded the last few years. For 15 years or so, I didn't touch the snow. And then as my boys got older and we were going to Colorado a bit, or California, we take them up to the mountains. And so the last few years I started to get back into it, but this was a whole other level. And man, I was like the worst snowboarder amongst, I'm a decent snowboarder, and these guys were just so far ahead of me. It was humbling, but it was kind of like being on the North Shore. I mean,
at what point did you realize that? At what point were you like...
Like 2 months ago when I got the email that said I was flying in a helicopter, and I didn't actually realize that you go in a helicopter. And I'd never been in a helicopter. Now I have. And you go up to this place in the Kootenays, which is like west of the Canadian Rockies in British Columbia. And it's cold, and it's like desolate, middle of nowhere. And they don't have chairs. They have snowcats. And they take you in the snowcat. And they literally drive you up the top of a mountain. And it's, you look out the window and it's really, really steep on either side out the windows. And out the front, you're like, it, the road just kind of ends at the top. They, it's not even a road. Like when it snows, they make these roads with the cats. They push the snow down. It's a ridge you're driving up, basically. And they just drop you off at the end and they leave. And you have to snowboard down. And this was after the first day giving, like I had this avalanche training. And they give you like, they train you on how to use your GPS search beacon, which emits a signal, but also if one of your, if multiple people get covered in avalanche, it's a procedure. And you have to find, you know, if you have to find the first one and then like leave a glove and mark the spot and then go on to the second. And you have a radio and there's like 14 of us in the group. And you're always going in a buddy system when you run, but there's two guides, one that goes the beginning and then everyone goes down after. And then there's a guide at the end that comes after you've all met up at the bottom of a section. They give you a GPS, so like in case you get buried, they can find you.
How long does it take to get up there in a cat?
Well, you're doing all the peaks around this resort. And so maybe you do a run and then just like maybe 15 minutes in a cat. You're just doing runs all day long. And it's all powder and it's super steep. And dude, I was with like, I got off the helicopter and Jamie Rice was there.
Travis Rice. Jamie Lynn.
Ah, shit. See, there you go. All right. Well, because I'm a surfer, I didn't even know who these guys were. Like, okay. Got off the helicopter. And
you know who they are now, though.
Oh, hell yeah, I do. Yeah, I know. I was
freaking
hanging out with Jamie
Travis
Lynn.
Rice is like freaking the Kelly Slater of snowboarding. Right. He's won so many things. And Jamie Lynn is just like, the Rob Machado of snowboarding. The,
yeah,
the
you know what?
Insane.
Dude, I was like playing ping pong with him all night. Dude, it was rad. He was shooting a Vans snowboard movie. And so I'm riding with guys like Jamie Lynn. And this other guy in our group is a photographer for Warren Miller Films. And all these guys are like living in Colorado and Oregon and Switzerland. And they're just like really good snowboarders. And it was a really humbling experience to ride with them.
So where did the helicopter come in?
I flew it up Nelson, British Columbia.
So is that the only way to get in there, or is by helicopter?
I think you could also probably go in a snowmobile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but there's a river you got to cross, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a machine gun in the helicopter? You could, like, shoot shit on the way?
It was Airwolf.
Death from above.
That's how they get...
Wasn't the guy in Airwolf the same guy in Big Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, shoots. Where was I? Guess I was just saying... It was a really humbling experience that I appreciated being the worst or the second worst or the third. You know, I mean, it was definitely, I snowboarded the least out of this group. There were some guys that were so much better than me that I got to ride with and see them jumping off things and understanding the level that recognizing the level of gear that I need and just the finite details, like with surfing. You know, you paddle with your body a couple inches forward and you're just going to dig your nose. You know, you got to find that sweet spot where you're not too far back, where you don't get the wave, or you're not too far forward, where you dig your nose. And it's like that with snowboarding. If your bindings are just forward a couple inches, you're going to dig a bunch more snow when you're trying to ride through this deep powder. And man, I'm talking, it was really, really steep. And the first day I was going on the run and I'm like, at one point I was like, and one of the first runs, I was just like, I'm not sure I should actually even be here. but, dude, I'm so glad because by the end of the third day, I was charging down the runs. I mean, the first day, I was like, man, I hadn't been in conditions like that ever. And so I was just eating it the whole day. And I was super sore.
And it's like a sheer cliff that you're jumping off of, too. It's not like...
I mean, not a sheer cliff, but, I mean, it's pretty steep. And actually, it's not even the steepness, though, that was bothering me as much as the trees. Because there's trees all over. And there's really tight turns. And what was happening is in some of the tighter turns, I'd like maybe, like, look at this bruise. I would like nail a tree with my knee. Well, and I fell into tree wells multiple times. And there are these holes around these trees, dude. Like, it was like up to like my neck in one. I had to climb a tree to get out. It was gnarly. And this is like high elevation. And I got dudes waiting for me at the bottom. I'm just like charging.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, man. So it was a good workout. But you know what? I think that was kind of similar to... I got this sort of motivation, whether it's surfing or snowboarding, which is like very similar in my mind. It's very different yet similar. It's the experience here. It's another way you're enjoying this ride and the glide. The whole experience for me is I do appreciate it, even though they're pretty cold. Snowboarding is fun. But I probably wouldn't have done it, or I wouldn't definitely wouldn't have gone to Hawaii if we hadn't started the podcast. So I feel like I've been inspired to get out and surf and snowboard and just get out and have these experiences and kind of push myself, I think, in some ways that otherwise I wouldn't have done.
Well, it's good to get out of your comfort zone once in a while like that, you know, and you're always humbled. You know, we think because we're in Costa Rica, we're the, you know, we're this elite bunch that surfs every single day, but, you know, we're kind of localized here, and yeah, there's a whole big world out there, and sometimes it's good to go out there and see that you're not the big horse, you know?
Yeah,
You're just also ran.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I was, like, riding with these guys that were, like, the best of the best, you know, I was super humbled, yet I was pushed. I think the environment, the guys I was riding with, the terrain, it's like kind of like going on, like, a real advanced Indo trip, you know, where you just got these heaving barrels and you just got to go for it.
And that's what makes you better.
For sure. For sure. I got better quickly. And, I mean, I don't
trial by fire.
Yeah.
Trial by fire, you know.
Trial by tomahawking down the mountain, just head over heels.
Yeah, you either step up or you step off. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, go hard or go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some of those days you do turn up to the beach and you've made this big trip to go somewhere and you're standing there and you're looking at it and you're like, well, this is what we actually came here for. This is what we came here for, you know. Like, you're wanting to, like, look at those places, like when we turn up to the North Shore, and it could have been a hell of a lot bigger, but you're like, oh god, look at it, it's, you know, it's actually surfable, it's actually it's accessible for us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it's accessible. It was okay, you know, it was all right.
Yeah, but you have to be in the right mental and physical state to accomplish those things. I think that was the big takeaway too, is like, got to stay on your game, you know.
Like, yeah, even like when we spoke to Mark Cunningham, and like how old is he now?
He's like 63.
Yeah, and he was saying, like, he keeps beating himself up about staying in shape and training, because obviously he's retired now from
30 years as a lifeguard.
Yeah, 30 years as a lifeguard. He's like, oh, I have to keep
20
training.
Years at Pipeline.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, and you do. You have to keep that mentality as well as a physical presence, but you also have to keep that mental state as well of, like, okay, the day's the day, or, you know, you push yourself and, like, get out of your comfort zone and try new things, whatever it is.
And that's hopefully what this whole podcast is providing for more than just you and I, and I know that it is, because I've been getting a lot of great feedback. So I'm stoked that we made it here, episode 10, and we're back in Costa Rica on home base, and you're talking about lifeguards. So let's start off by talking about what's happening in Costa Rica. Let's talk about the new lifeguard tower that's getting built right on the beach in front of Wishes Rock Surf Camp, Pat.
Well, you know, we had a lifeguard tower before that was financed by donations from couple of different businesses, including our own, and it was a beautiful lifeguard tower, like a California lifeguard tower. And as you well know, Joe, the tide took it away, and
right.
We dismantled it, and now we're down to like a lifeguard chair,
temporary.
But the municipality, I guess they noticed what we were doing and how successful it was. They've kicked in some money and they're building a tower right now, and they're actually doing a really good job on the beach.
So how long ago did we start the lifeguard program? Because I've lost track.
Well, let me see. I think
at least 5 years, right?
It was 5 years ago.
2013.
Yeah, correct. 5 years ago.
Yeah, even more.
So it's taken 5 years for, and things don't work fast in Costa Rica, but.
No, but it's a really positive sign to see the government now getting involved, because we've been funding this privately for years. And since we've had a lifeguard program, which is every day from 9 to 6, 7 days a week, I don't believe we've had a single drowning, Pat.
Oh, my God. You had to say that.
I did.
Knock on wood.
You know what? I am. But I also know from years of living at the beach in Tamarindo, just all of us sitting in this room, we've done it all. And before that lifeguard program, it was out of control. We were having to rescue people drowning all the time, recover bodies, CPR, broken necks, you name it. And to have now a training program where we're training people in the community in that lifeguard tower, and having the government now involved, it's like, wow, like what, like really? Am I dreaming?
Because yeah, this is a good example of the private-public partnerships that are necessary not only for Costa Rica, but for all of the world.
For sure.
So because the government can't finance it all, and you know, Guanacaste has some money, but they're not a, a rich canton or whatever. They're investing in the community by doing this. And it's Costa Ricans that we employ as lifeguards. And so this is for Costa Ricans. This isn't for you and I, Joe, or you and I and Nikki.
No.
This is for Costa Ricans to be able to take care of their own community.
It's mainly the presence that the lifeguards have, the presence that the lifeguards have on the beach, because prevention is everything. So if a lifeguard approaches you and warns you about something, do take heed. They're not trying to like push you around or anything like that. They're trying to prevent from something bad really happening. So if someone's saying like, please watch out for this rip, the waves are very big today, I don't think you should be swimming, you know, don't get all like pushy back or anything like that, because for me, that's the main thing. No one wants to swim out and be a hero. No one wants to do that. We want to prevent any of these problems that can arise.
You know, we're averaging about 30 assists or rescues per week. That's about what our average is year round. You know, of course, in Semana Santa, it's a lot busier and we have a lot more assists. And most of those assists are just grabbing people before they get in trouble and stitches. A lot of stitches.
Yeah, we do a lot of stitches.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty awesome that we're getting a new tower, permanent tower. And it's on skids, too. So if the tide does shift around, we have the ability of moving it. Witches Rock Surf Camp does manage the program. So we're very proud. So what else we got going on? What's been going on here in Tamarindo? We got that Netflix show that's here right now called Restaurants on the Edge. They're shooting a season. It's not our restaurant, but they're going to be surfing with us.
Yeah, well, they're coming over to visit, Joe, because, you know, you're the authority as it relates to surf camps and surf lessons. So they're going to come down here and they're going to see what you're up to, what your brewery is up to, what Volcano Brewing Company is up to. And we're going to throw a little beach party. We've got a local band that's going to play, and everybody's really psyched and stoked about this.
Yeah, it's been going on for a couple months now, and that was one of the reasons why, you know, back here and doing some work middle of the month is to have that show and be great hosts. And so I'm not sure, but that's going to be on Netflix, and I believe it's called Restaurants on the Edge. So look for that, the Costa Rica episode, I'm assuming.
And dear old Robert August and his daughter Christina is going to be there hanging out on the beach as well.
You know, I got to say something funny here. I asked my boys to be involved to help out next week with Netflix, the production crews here, because it's going to be like a 12 people, like camera and lighting and sound, and it's like a big crew, bigger than normal. I've seen a lot of production crews. There's small ones and large ones. And the only one that was bigger was when MTV came here in 2005 and did The Real World. And I'd never even told my kids this. I'd explained to my kids what MTV was. And I'd explained to them what the
Does
term...
Does MTV still exist?
It's like an app now. I don't even know. But like... I'm telling you, I went on to Amazon. I have an Amazon stick, and I went on to the video store, and I found its episode, or it's was it season 16? It's Real World Austin. Maybe it's season 12. I can't remember. But they have it there, and it was $2. And I bought it just today and just watched it with my kids. And they're like, they couldn't believe it. They're like, there's economy rent-a-car in front of the surf camp. And we've got the same tape, same furniture, and Eden Joe's restaurant that we've had since then.
Keeping up with the times, yeah.
And like the same flooring and everything. And I was dying, dude. And of course, I'm like, oh, man. It was just, I said something like, what did I say? Say, be careful. If you try surfing, your life will never be the same. I don't know what I said, but it was ridiculous, man. It's just search for Real World on Amazon or probably iTunes. I don't know. It was on Amazon Prime or my Amazon stick, whatever that.
So Alexa hooked me up. We've got some other podcasts that we're thinking about doing here too. Isn't that correct, Joe?
That's very correct. In fact, the whole goal here is that we're going to get out and we're going to meet the most interesting people in surfing. And we're going to go surf the most interesting places in the world. So we just started that. And again, a big shout out to Poncho and Mark and Senor Peter Cole, who...
That guy was gnarly. Peter, like you, Peter? You turn up. He's
dude,
got,
Peter's
like,
never
he's
had
got
a bad
one
wipeout.
Eye that's working. He's got half his neck is gone.
Dude.
And you're just like, whoa,
dude.
You
Peter's
know I mean?
The Peter's the bomb. He really
yeah,
was.
He really is. Like and, my favorite part about his interview was is like, so how do you deal with the fear? Well, I've never been afraid.
So yeah, we did that trip, and we're gonna have Mark Cunningham on the show in a week, which is gonna be awesome. And looking beyond that, let's see, I'm getting ready to go to New Zealand, check that out, take my family there for a couple weeks, and go check out Raglan. I've never been there, left Point Break, and I think it's gonna make a great episode for the show. I've always wanted to know the setup in New Zealand, and I know it's gonna be awesome because everyone I talk to who's been there says how awesome it is. So that's gonna be cool.
Well, I'm gonna live through you, but you know, we've got another local person that we're thinking about doing in a few weeks after you get back from New Zealand, and that's Captain Zero. You know, we all read the book In Search of Captain Zero. Well, we know where he is. We found him, and I talk to him at least once a week.
Finding Captain Zero. He calls me up at the most random times. I don't even.
He is the true character of Costa Rica, and he's got a lot of good stories to tell.
Well, please, can you just give me a little bit of a hint of what's coming on here?
A lot of these pirates
that
came down
that
to
is
Costa
what he
Rica.
Is.
Yeah, he's a pirate.
They started their career smuggling some pretty decent loads of illegal drugs back in the day, back in the 70s. And, you know, the other thing with Captain Zero is he's a Vietnam vet, so he's the real deal. And he's got quite a story to tell, and he's not bashful about telling it. So
looking
you guys
forward to
stay tuned for Captain Zero, because we found them.
Yeah, we did. Finding Captain Zero. We got Wingnut, I believe, coming through here pretty soon.
Yeah, Wingnut's coming down in the mid-March, so in the next couple of weeks at least, and just trying to confirm with him a time. And, you know, he's also a star and definitely a character of surf. Stuff he can do on a longboard is just unbelievable. I've seen him. I've done a few tours with him personally, and yeah, super nice guy.
I'm looking forward to being taught how to get all 10 toes up there and keep them up there. See what his strategy is.
Oh, he's a master at that.
Mine isn't working so well. I get the first 5, then I go for 10, and then I fall. That's pretty much the pattern. We're talking about going to China, Hainan. That's right. And,
yeah, we're going to look for megalodons.
That's right. I just watched the Meg, and that's where that giant shark goes. Pat, China.
Well, you know, I'm down for China. I've always wanted to go there. But I'm not going to sit in economy, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to be economy plus. So that, you know, I mean, right away, that I'm not going because he ain't gonna front for that.
Well, yeah,
so
I just
you're gonna have to go.
Oh no, I
bring
had to come,
your bag.
I had to
bring
come back
bag,
in baggage.
You are the bag boy.
I had to come in baggage hold.
I took it there. Back. I took all the mixer and all the stuff there, and you
well,
brought it back.
Right? I'm not.
I had to go snowboarding. I needed.
I'm not complaining at all. We were just in Hawaii. I'm not complaining one little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hold on. Wait a second. I got to shift around in the seat. The ball and chain is really heavy on my foot.
Pat's just pissed.
Yeah, I've never been to Hawaii.
It's nice. You should go.
Yeah, I will.
They got really good spam. Really good orange chicken.
Spam. Spamity spam.
Oh, there's lots of spam, man. I tell you.
There's all that spicy shrimp there.
We actually didn't do the spicy shrimp.
I know.
We didn't do the spicy shrimp.
Yeah, you know what we didn't do too? I wanted to go snorkeling. There's like some
killer
snorkeling.
You wanted to go swim with freaking sharks in a cage is what you wanted to do.
I wanted to go snorkeling. Yeah, you snorkel with sharks.
I would do that.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
We just didn't get around to it. I don't know.
Yeah, we were busy. We actually were working. We only surfed, 3 times?
Okay.
Which is, you know. Yeah, we gotta pay the bills, dude.
You.
I'm not sure how this podcast is actually doing that, but at least we're getting to go out and, you know.
The one thing in Hawaii I did notice a lot of was the foil surfing.
That's actually awesome. That I like.
Because I've seen
small
a few
board,
people
out
here.
Small board, not this big goofy longboard with a foil, but like a short board that you can.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even a wave, and these guys were just ripping.
They were able to really harness the energy of the wave that was coming in. And like I was on a stand-up paddleboard, and I was not able to even paddle into these things. And then there was this guy out there, and he was on his foil board. And he was getting all these turns in, and he was then coming off the back of the wave and then like pumping out the back and then catching another set wave. although it was literally...
Didn't even matter. It wasn't even surfable. Couldn't even catch a wave out there.
It was like knee high.
Yeah, we had some longboards, went out there, barely caught a wave, and these guys are just like tearing it up on those foils.
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting to see, because I've seen a few people out here and not really been inspired to give it much of a look, but it's surfing, you know, nonetheless. I know some people call them water pogo sticks.
Oh, I thought it looked pretty sweet.
But, you know, it definitely looked fluid. It looked like fun. The main thing for me is like surfing. So if it's the time to body surf, or it's time to out on a boogie board, knee board, whatever it is, that's fantastic. It's all surfing.
Yeah,
it's
I definitely walked away with that vibe as well. Especially talking with Mark, it's like it doesn't matter how you enjoy the ocean. There's a lot of ways to connect with it, a lot of ways to have fun.
Yeah, and I got to apologize for the Pancho Sullivan interview, because I go like a heck of a lot. There was a lot
Well, it sounds like there's like ping pong, like or maybe beer pong going on down at the brewery right now. That's what's been going on this whole show. So hopefully the sound wasn't too bad. But really cool to catch up with you guys.
We've got one more thing to mention. You know, we've got the all-women surf retreat happening as well.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot entirely. That's like probably the biggest news. We've got Andrea Diaz, Costa Rica national champ.
Yeah, you know, we've rekindled that whole thing because it's backed by popular demand.
Absolutely.
And so the first 2 weeks of June, July, and August, we're going to host that camp right here at Witch's Rock. And we have Andrea Diaz, the women's national champion in Costa Rica, who is just a great individual, does a hell of a job. And she has a really good following. And, you know, it's good that women can come down here and not have to feel like they're going to be hanging around a bunch of guys with testosterone, you know, like these grizzly guys that want to go out and surf. Rah, 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 rah. So they're out here. They're learning how to surf. They're feeling comfortable with their environment. And that's what it's all about. A woman's retreat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's a great surfer. She's a really great personality. And she's a very good ambassador of the sport and ambassador of the country as well.
So for more information, where should people go, Pat?
www.witchesrocksurfcamp.com.
All right. Well, cool. Episode number 10 is coming to an end. I want to thank both you guys for being here. Even though, Pat, you know, you and I had to wait like an hour for Nikki to finish whatever he was doing. It's, you know, I'm not bitter, but I think
I like
dinner.
The Murphys. I'm not bitter, but
do
I like
you have anything
my...
to say in your defense?
My defense, because it's going to fall on deaf ears no matter what, so there's no point.
So guilty as charged.
It's okay. Guilty as charged.
Let's
that's
move
all
right.
Along. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Wait, one more thing. We actually had a question.
We
have a question. We have an email. Okay, got this question from Andrew Benson from the Great Lakes area, and we're invited to go up and take him and his friend surfing Lake Superior. They listened to our Great Lakes episode and got motivated. These are past surf camp guests. I've never even considered surfing the Great Lakes, so thank you to Larry Larson and that dedicated crew all across the Great Lakes. His question is, what's one thing about surfing you wish you learned sooner? And so we're going to ask that in our next interview, but I thought maybe I'd ask you guys. Pat, what's one thing about surfing you wish you'd learned sooner?
I wished I learned it sooner.
You wished, okay. Okay, okay, good answer. Nikki?
Patience. I wish I'd learned patience sooner. Like when you first start out, it's a long road. This isn't a quick, this is a very, because if you take, say you practice a sport, something like football, tennis, you can go to a court or to a pitch and you can practice and practice and practice. The ocean is very different every single time you go out. It's very dynamic and you are at the whim of the tide and the swell. So you have to have patience. It's not going to be, you don't suddenly just pick it up over nothing, you know, in very little time. So you have to, and I was a very frustrated surfer for many years. And until you were like, okay, it's all baby steps, little by little.
And it's fun time. From day one, it's fun. So maybe you get frustrated because you don't feel like you're getting better quick enough.
Yeah, to concentrate more on the stoke and the feeling more than actual performance, because it will come. But like, sure. To learn patience, because I was a very impatient surfer.
I like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, for me, that's what, if I could learn one thing quicker, it would have been to learn that I have to have patience.
Okay, okay.
And how about you, Giuseppe?
All right, well, Andrew Benson, the one thing I wish I learned sooner was shortboarding. I started longboarding And I stayed on it for years, for more than a decade. And it was because I was comfortable catching lots of waves. It was easier, for sure. It was easier in any lineup. It is easier. And it's fun. But it is limiting. And so I'm really glad, because I really prefer a shortboard, even though I don't catch as many waves. And I've probably learned that patience, so I'm okay with that. But the shortboarding does help the longboarding, and the longboarding does help the shortboarding. There's a time and a place for all of it, and it all should be part of your quiver and your experience. So it's not as much that I ever wrote off longboarding. It's just I wish I had picked up a shortboard and really experienced riding different types of boards earlier on, because it just adds so much more depth to the whole surfing experience. All right. We are doing these podcasts on Sunday nights. That way on a Monday morning, it's going to be there when you're driving to work. And that's a change. We were doing them on Fridays, but we decided to move it back. It's better for everyone. And so that's the new schedule. Any questions, podcast ideas, anything, you can email us at getoutandsurfcr@gmail.com. You can also direct message us on our Instagram page @getoutandsurf. Anything else to add, guys?
All good, man.
Be punctual. Make sure you turn up on time. And I'm usually very punctual. You guys can attest to that. I am usually very punctual.
I know,
punctual.
We thought you had like a car accident. We're like, what? We're like,
no, my dog has been, my dog.
Ate your homework.
No, my dog.
You're only as good as the last time you showed up on time.
All right, okay, well, we'll walk away.
All right, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Get Out and Surf podcast, brought to you by Witches Rock Surf Camp in Tamarindo, Costa Rica. Witches Rock is such a great time, offering surfing experiences for all levels of surfers. Go to witchesrocksurfcamp.com for more info. A very big thank you to Doug Cole and the entire Cole family on the North Shore of Hawaii. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. You can do that by going to iTunes and typing in Get Out and Surf. We also need your positive reviews, so take 2 minutes and show us some love. You can do this on iTunes. The link is in the show notes. This will help iTunes share our podcast and get more people tuning in and getting stoked. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again next week. Pura vida y nos vemos!